Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We are in a series called the Biblical Calendar, and this is part two. We're going to look at Passover in the biblical calendar. And before I get there, you know, I've been making this case, I have to make it over and over and over, because this whole issue of the calendar is something that's tied into Israel. It's given to Israel. These days are for the children of Israel. And so we write that off. We've been told by our teachers for 2,000 years, oh, don't worry about that. That's for Israel. Failing to understand, we're grafted into Israel. We're a part of Israel. And so those things are our things now. We're in the household of God, right? And so when I say we're a part of Israel, that's always confusing because the term Israel has different meanings. So if we look at Israel, we will note that it's a person, right? You go all the way back to the days of Jacob when he wrestled with God. God changed his name, called him what? Israel. So sometimes Israel is a reference to Jacob. And then later it becomes identified as the family of Jacob, the 12 sons, the 12 tribes. That comprised Israel, right? And then that set of families come through Egypt to Sinai, and they and their descendants become the nation of God, Israel, a geopolitical, spiritual nation. Later, they split. 10 tribes go north, 2 tribes stay in the south. Under Solomon or after Solomon, the nation splits. Now, the 10 northern tribes are called Israel, but only 10. The 2 that stay in the south are called Judah. And then we come into Pauline theology. And Paul begins to develop this concept of spiritual Israel in its fullness. And he says spiritual Israel is comprised of believing Jews. Believing Jews. They comprise spiritual Israel. The non-believing Jews are natural Israel, yet to be born again and added to that Israel of God that emerges in the days of Moses. So believing Jews are part of the spiritual Israel of God, and then later the Gentiles who believe in Jesus get grafted in to spiritual branches, the believing Jews who are on that tree called the olive tree of Israel. So there is a spiritual Israel of believing Jews and believing Gentiles. So when I say we're a part of Israel, I'm talking about being a part of that spiritual Israel of God, right? The nation of Israel is comprised mainly of natural branches, Jews who do not believe in Jesus. They're called Israel too, and rightfully so. They're just broken off in terms of the covenant. But Paul tells us that through faith in Jesus, they can be grafted back in. In fact, he makes the case that at the end of the ages, all Israel as a nation will come to faith and be grafted back in. So when I say we're a part of Israel, I know some people say, what? We live over here. We're, you know, and they won't give us citizenship anyway. We believe in Jesus. No, I'm not talking about we're that Israel. Okay, that's natural Israel. Of course, we're Americans. We live over here. But we're grafted into spiritual Israel, the Israel of God, believing Jews. We're the believing Gentiles. Together we comprise the Israel of God. And that Israel of God is partakers in the covenants of promise. And those covenants of promise include the Torah. The Torah is written on our hearts now so that it's embedded in us. It's who we are. So when we read it and it says children of Israel, we need to understand that's talking about us. That we're included in that group. It's one household, one faith, one God, one Lord, one Spirit, one law. And so we're a part of that. So these days are important to us. He doesn't have 2 families, 2 brides. He's not a bigamist. You know, he has 2 wives. One lives on the other side of the street with her kids, the Gentiles. No, one household, one family, one set of commandments, one set of values, one way of living. So that's what we're looking at, our Father's calendar. And we looked at last week, the first holy day, which occurs weekly, and that's the Sabbath. It corresponds to Saturday, of course. The day moves from sunset to sunset. That's how it's counted. So Friday night sunset to Saturday night sunset is the Sabbath. That's the weekly day of worship. In addition, there are eight annual holy times, there's four holy days in the spring. We call it an octave because it's 8 days. It's called the week of Passover. And then in the fall, we have another octave, and it has four holy days also. And it culminates in what we call the week of Tabernacles. And then we have one holy day in the summer, Shavuot, or what we understand as Pentecost. So those are the eight annual holy days. What we're jumping into today is Passover. Passover is the first of the annual holy days of our Father in heaven. It's a week-long memorial to him as our Savior, our Deliverer, who came and sought us out in Egypt, took us out, delivering us from that house of bondage, a type and shadow, of course, of sin and shame. And we see later that it's fulfilled in Jesus, that this ancient Exodus, the story of the Exodus, is filled with types and shadows of a greater Exodus from a greater Egypt and a greater Pharaoh, Satan and his kingdom of sin and shame. And that in Jesus, we get saved and delivered out of that, so that this Passover finds its fulfillment in Jesus. He's the ultimate Passover. It's a memorial to him. It's in the Passover that he's revealed, he's exalted, and he's glorified by all who believe in him. God commands us as followers of Jesus to observe it because he loves his son. His son is the one that accomplishes the greater redemption, who pays the price for our sin, who redeems us from that house of darkness. This is a celebration of what his son has accomplished. That's why it's important to the Father. And it's important to the Father that we who believe in his son would exalt him, memorialize him during this time. So as we keep it, we are kept. As we observe it, we are centered, along with our children, in Jesus, the fulfillment of Passover. He is the Savior of the world. As John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So get ready. The week of Passover is upon us. It'll be here before you know it. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you." Now, that wasn't currently the first of the year. They had not counted that as the beginning of their calendar prior to being in Egypt. But God's about ready to deliver them from Egypt with signs and wonders. It's going to be something they'll never forget. It's going to be the stories that are memorialized for forever, right? We're 3,500 years removed, still doing this every year in a dramatic and significant way. It's a big deal. God says, and because of this, what I'm about to do, I want you to mark it as the beginning of your calendar, the beginning of your year. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 through 5. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. First month of the year, in the middle of the first month of the year, is a memorial to the Lord's Passover. The Passover belongs to the Lord. It's his. This is his concoction, if you will, right? His idea. It belongs to him. And it falls in the first month. And the first month is called Aviv in the Hebrew calendar. Now, later it gets changed to the Babylonian name for that month, which is Nisan. Nisan's related to the Hebrew word Nitzim or Nitzam. And that simply means bud. And I'm not talking about Bud Light. Boo, right? I'm talking about buds in the springtime that show up on the trees, right? It's the month of budding. It's the springtime. It's when the year turns in terms of the seasons, and we come out of the deadness of winter into this boisterous, uncontrollable bursting forth of life everywhere. That is the month of Nisan, or what we call Aviv. The Hebrew word is barley. It's called the month of barley because what? Out of the deadness of the winter, up comes the barley. It's the first grain that comes up through the ground. It's the early grain. It emerges and starts to turn grain. And that's how you know in the ancient world in the Middle East, it's springtime. Spring is here. The ancients didn't really have what we have today in terms of being able to determine months and years and so forth. They did that by the sighting of the moon and the sun and how it moved in relationship to the equator. So they were able to piece some things together, but the way they did that in an agrarian culture was to look at the crops as determining when springtime was here. And that was very essential for them because they couldn't miss those timetables, because their whole communities and societies were sustained by planting at the right time. You had to hit that, you know, at the right time, or you'd be in a world of hurt. So this is the month of spring, if you will, the month in which the buds come out, the month in which the barley appears and begins to turn green. Isn't that interesting that God says, that's how you're going to order your year? Yeah, in the springtime. I'm the God of life. I'm the giver of life. I'm the sustainer of life. Let's celebrate the beginning of our year in the springtime, when life reappears out of the deadness of winter. I love that. Okay? So this is the beginning of months for us. Exodus 12 states this. This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Verse 3, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. When do you kill the lambs? At twilight. On what day? 14th day of Nisan. On the 14th day of Nisan, at twilight, you kill the lambs. Twilight in the Hebraic calendar comes at the end of the day of the 14th, not the beginning. It's the only festival that starts at the end of the day, Passover. It's at the end of the 14th day at about 3 in the afternoon is when the twilight starts. That's when you kill the lambs. And you're going to kill the lambs, slaughter the lambs, skin the lambs, arrange the lambs, prepare the lambs to be eaten. It takes quite a bit of time, especially if you're not skilled in doing that, right? If you're skilled, yeah, less time, but if you're not, how many people have ever killed a lamb and then prepped it to be eaten? One, two, okay? It's a little bit of a process, isn't it? I remember I was a kid, man. They took me out to the farm and they took a sheep and they slaughtered a sheep right in front of me and my sister, and they did everything, you know. I mean, I watched that. I could not believe everything that was going on. It was so shocking, of course, you know. Never been to a farm, never saw that, you know. Man, by the time they were done, it was like the skin was all laid out, the bones were separated, the organs were separated, the meat. I thought, what? How'd they do all that? It was amazing. But this family, that's what they did. Yeah. So on the 14th day, at about 3 p.m., kill the lambs. Kill the lambs. And everyone's to participate in that. In the text, it says, everyone shall kill their lambs at twilight. What does that tell us? If these are types and shadows of Jesus, right, what does that tell us? Right? Yeah. Everyone is to participate in the killing of the lamb If you're going to participate in redemption, it's because you've participated in the need for redemption. Who killed Jesus, by the way, right? Well, the Jews killed Jesus. Not true. It was the Romans, right? Yeah, the Romans put him on the cross. The Jews framed him and handed him over, and the Romans killed him. Jews and Gentiles killed him. The Jewish world and the Gentile world killed Jesus. The world put Jesus on the cross. You and I are guilty for the need of Jesus to be sacrificed in order to be redeemed. We're all guilty. That's why everyone was to participate. God was prepping hearts, teaching them that everyone needed to participate because everyone was in need of that redemption. Verse 7, then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh at night, roasted with fire, with unleavened bread, bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. Verse 13, the blood of the lamb that you put on your houses, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, when I look and see the blood on your house, right, I will pass over you and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. It didn't matter who you were. If you were in the house, it didn't matter who you were. Your shortcomings, your baggage, your sins, your genealogy, none of it mattered. If you were in the house, God was going to save you. Because your salvation is not dependent on you. It's not dependent on what you've done or not done. Dependent on your faith in the blood of the Lamb. Salvation is based on the blood of the Lamb. You just simply embrace that. If you embrace that and say, yes, I apply that to my heart, to my life, you shall be saved. Salvation is by grace through faith, not by works, not by social status, not by ethnic status, not by your wealth. It's based simply on the blood of Jesus. And if you don't embrace the Lamb of God, you have no hope. You have no redemption. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Whoever you were, if you were in the house, you were saved by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 14, this day shall be for you a memorial day. You shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. It shall be a day of remembrance. It's the day that you're going to memorialize, right? You're not going to reenact everything that's in this passage. It's not a reenactment of the first Passover. No one's going to do that. You're not going to take a lamb in your house this year and terrorize your kids after they love on it, name it, play with it, and then you like blood's everywhere. What's dad doing, right? I mean, there's just so much in this passage we would never do again. And it's not commanded that we do it. It's commanded that we memorialize what happened in this event. And that's what we do in our Seders today. We take and retell the stories with the symbols. And we point that to the fullness that's in Jesus. And that's how we bring glory to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We do that with food. We do that with music. It's a feast, right? It's a feast. You cannot have a feast without food and drink. So we'll have a big meal, a big Seder, big meal, lots of music. We're going to just have a lot of rejoicing as we celebrate the fullness of Passover in and through Yeshua. We're to do that, of course, forever. How long is forever? It's a long time. As long as there's generations, you're to do this. You teach your children through these events. Your children begin to understand who Jesus is through the sights and the sounds and the smells. All the five senses are engaged in order to help them understand who Jesus is. There's no better way to help them understand and encounter Jesus than through the holy days. And then it happens as it transfers from one generation to the next, so that in every generation, there is a witness of the love of God and the redemption of God that reaches out to a world that's lost and alienated in sin and shame. This day also initiates a week of feasting as a memorial to God's deliverance from Egypt. It's called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. Exodus 12:15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off. Remove the leaven. Well, what's leaven, right? Well, we all have our ideas of what leaven is. But what was it back then? What is the original context? We have a sits in Lieben, the original life setting of Exodus. And then we have the literary setting, which was written much later, right? What was leaven back at that time? What did that mean? Leavened was a reference to bread. Bread. If you take leaven and you mix it with one or more of the five grains, wheat, barley, oats, spelt, or rye, you have what's called leavened bread. In fact, you didn't carry around boxes of leaven in the ancient world. You took a piece of leavened dough from like your neighbor, or if you wanted to make bread and you didn't have any leaven, you took some leavened dough already leavened, and then that's what you use to add to your fresh dough, and that would leaven the whole loaf. And you always kept a piece of that so you could start your new loaf of bread. And if you didn't have a neighbor, you'd just make some bread, you'd stick some of that flour, that you'd make like a wad of gum out of that flour, and then you'd suck on it for a while. You keep it in your mouth, you move it back and forth, you suck on it, let it get really good and saturated. Then you set it out and let it sit for a while, and that became your leavened dough, okay? That's your starter dough, yeah. So thank God for neighbors. But where do you think they got theirs? Oh my gosh, make your own. Okay, so that leavened in Hebrew is called seor. That's your starter dough. Hametz is the finished product of whatever you made with it. So if we go back to our passage, let me just read it again. That's slide 29, Exodus 12:15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven. That's the Hebrew word, seor. What are you going to remove? The starter dough. You take the starter dough that's leavened. You get rid of that. And then it goes on to say, if anyone eats what is leavened, and that word is hametz. That's a reference to what you're going to make with your seor. You take that and add it to whatever, and you end up with like, oh, I made some bread, or I made some donuts, or I made some buns, or muffins, or rolls, or cakes. I made some croutons because I'm really, you know, fancy or whatever, you know. That finished product also is removed. So that leaven is always a reference to dough from these five grains plus leaven, okay? That mixture is what you're called to remove out of your house. If you make it just leaven, you've missed the point, and boy, are you in trouble. Try to make it just leaven and get all the leaven out of your house. Man, you're going to clear everything out. I mean, everything has leaven. It's in the air, which means it's in our food. Got to get rid of my beer. Got to get rid of my wine. How can I have a Passover celebration? Right? Yeah. It was talking about puffy bread as a symbol of sin. Not your beef barley soup that has some leaven in the barley. You don't have to get rid of every God. And who can afford that nowadays with inflation, right? No, you get rid of your puffy leavened bread and your starter dough. This is even clearer in the Jewish Tanakh. It's the Jewish translation of the Old Testament by Jews and for Jews. Exodus 12:15, same verse. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your house, for whoever eats leavened bread. They add bread in there because chametz is a reference to the finished product. Again, giving us the idea that it's leavened bread that we remove from our house, not all leavened products. I mean, years ago, we were doing the leaven thing. We didn't understand some of the finer elements within the Hebrew. We'd get rid of so much food every year. I'm thinking to myself, good grief, why didn't we slow up buying weeks ahead of time? We're losing a lot of food here. Well, you can sell it to the Gentiles. We're the Gentiles. What are you talking about? Sell it to ourselves? I mean, it just doesn't work. So painful every year. Oh, what joy. Hundreds of dollars in the trash. Oh, I love Passover. Once we figure it out, it's bread. Yeah, we can all do that, and it's a joy. So I want to help you with that. We're to remove leavened bread from our home that week. Why? Because leavened bread in that week, and only in that week, is a symbol for sin. Symbol for sin, but only in that week. So God's teaching us to get rid of the sin in our lives. After he saved us already in the Passover, right? We'll see that as we get down into the passage. In addition to the Passover sacrifice, the lamb, we are to eat unleavened bread with it for 7 days. Lamb sandwiches for 7 days, if you will. Deuteronomy 16, 1 through 3, observe the month of Aviv, and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for the month of Abib is to the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt by night. You shall offer the Passover sacrifice to the Lord your God from the flock or the herd at the place that the Lord will choose to make his name dwell there. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. What's the it? You shall eat no leavened bread with it, the Passover sacrifice. And what is that again? A lamb, right? You shall need no unleavened bread with it, the lamb. 7 days you shall eat it, what is it? For 7 days with unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that all the days of your life you may remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. So for that week, the focus is on the lamb. The sign of Passover is the blood of the lamb that we're saved from the wrath of God that's poured out on sin and shame through faith in the blood of the lamb. We're saved from that judgment that's coming on our world that's just in rebellion and filled with sin, saved by the blood of the lamb. So all week long, we are memorializing what Jesus accomplished on the cross, that his blood is the thing that saves all of us. And we eat unleavened bread. It's a command. It's not optional. Every day you got to have some matzah. I buy boxes of matzah. I eat matzah all week long. Oh, at the beginning of the week, I just got matzah in the corners of my mouth everywhere I go. Got matzah in my teeth. Ah, first couple days is great. By the end of the week, it's like, good grief. I'm glad it's just 7 days, you know? But it's great because nowadays you can buy onion-flavored matzah, salted matzah. I mean, we got this down. It's refined. Thanks to the Maize Clan, we got chocolate matzah. It just gets better and better. But we eat that all week long. Why? Because it's a picture of sinlessness. That we've been cleansed from our sin. That we are holy and pure before the Lord, not based on what we've done or did not do, based on the blood of the Lamb and its ability to cleanse us, We are cleansed. We are unleavened. So we eat that all week long to remind us. Went to my dad's house. Love my dad and mom. It's the week of Passover, and it's overlapped with Easter. So I brought my matzah. I told my parents we were coming over for dinner, and I said, hey, I'm going to bring some matzah. Oh, yeah, bring your matzah. I said, yeah, because I don't eat bread, but, you know, this week, so I got my matzah. Okay, so I get over there, got my matzah, and so we're sitting down, we're having a nice dinner, and out comes the hot cross buns, because my parents are Roman Catholics to the core, and that's the week of hot cross buns. Your biggest, puffiest buns, man. I mean, they do. They'll make you salivate. They're big old honking, you know, hot cross buns with butter staring you down. I got my cracker. Oh, yummy. Okay, anyway, I got my cracker. So we're eating that, and my dad forgot, and he says, have a bun. I said, no, Dad, I'm doing the matzah, remember? He says, you're not eating? I said, no, this is the week that we're forbidden to eat puffy breads, and we eat flatbreads. We eat the unleavened bread. He goes, why is that? Well, it's a symbol of sinlessness, and that's a symbol of sin. And in the Passover event, we get free from all that. He goes, that's right, that's right. He goes, yeah, that's right. He goes, that's really powerful. He goes, I really like that. He goes, hey, mother. He calls his wife mother. Don't you? How many husbands call their wives mother? Okay. If you don't, it's because you're lying. Okay, anyway. Our wives take care of us. They do. They take care. They're like, just not a wife. They're like mothers too. Anyway, sidetrack. He says, I like that. I think that's really great. He says, hey, mother. He goes, let's do that next year. He says, next year, let's skip the hot cross buns and let's do matzah during the week. I thought, praise God. You know, it was great. We had a great time. But yeah, all week long, it's a teaching tool. It's a witnessing tool. It's just fun. The kids love it. Oh, my gosh. Get the recipe from Angie. Your kids will want matzah year-round. Verse 16, on the first day you shall hold a holy assembly. On the seventh day, a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared. So it's a week long. Oh, man. I am out of time. I cannot believe it. This is going to be like the never-ending series. Okay, so let me just finish by saying this. There's always next week, so come back next week. But 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, let us therefore celebrate the festival. Paul, talking to Gentiles. This is a Gentile community. Now, there are some Jews there, but it's primarily a Gentile community. Paul telling Christian Gentiles post-resurrection, your boasting's not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Yeah, that's a reference to Passover. This is Passover concepts. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, verse 8, let us therefore celebrate the festival. What festival? Passover. Passover. Paul's saying, hey, believing Gentiles, it's time to celebrate Passover. What do you think they're saying? Well, we're not Jews. No, they understood they were grafted in. Yeah, let us celebrate the festival, not with old leaven and the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We, believing Gentiles, are going to follow the apostle to the Gentiles and celebrate the Lord's Passover. It's what everyone did, believing Jews and believing Gentiles, in that first century. It's what we do today. It goes all the way back to the days of Moses. And we're going to exalt Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Him we are saved. In Him we're forgiven. In Him we are cleansed. And in Him we have this message to bring to all those around us that they too may share in the joy of this great redemption story. Shabbat Shalom.